We're on Mizmor Lamedtes about David. It's a very appropriate pasuk to learn on the last day of the year. Everything is b'hashgacha pratis. How long am I going to live? How much time do I got in this world? I mean, what better pasuk can you possibly learn? It's really spooky to learn this pasuk on the last day of the year. Hodien Hashem kitzi, Hashem make known to me my kates, my end, on page 352, 354, in Midas Yomai Mahi, Eda'o Mechodel Ori. So we did already a few in the portion. We discussed this. I'm like Rav Kalman, he's not here. We discussed a little bit about who maybe was your Mechol who said it, I remember, is their quality of life. There is Hashem making known to me my end. There are three different dimensions to life. There are three dimensions to life. There's the end, and then there is the midas yomai. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean, I don't know, what dimension of life would you suggest that means? And then the third thing is Eido me chodel oni. I think chodel, I think you right away, one thing is for sure. There's something called arich hasyomim, arich hashanim, and then there is quality of life. So if you just want to play musical chairs, and when the music stops, you drop, right? So you would say very simply, Midas Yomai is Arichas Yomim, days. Every day makes a difference. And when it says that at the beginning, Hodien Hashem ki tzi my end, that's just years. Years, we go. Rachman Lusan, you go to a film. Rachman Lusan, Lo'aleinu. You hear they say, sometimes you hear, he didn't have arichas shanim, but he had arichas yomim. Every day counted. Every day made. Every day he was determined to make a difference. It's a tremendous thing. And then you go to sometimes you meet a person. He dies 120 years old. Today, 113, 126, you have all these different stories. Who's the oldest man in the world? And then you study these people a little bit more depth. What do they do the whole day? Nothing. What do they do? I mean, maybe they did big things, at least they don't present it. They just went to the park and they played checkers. They have reports. This is the oldest man in the world. And they interview him. And he's alive, he's 116 years old, and he's pretty sharp. And you read the article, and what do you do? What does he do the whole day? What kind of life did he live? They don't say anything that impresses you. And then you read about people, Rahman al-Hassan, who died very young, and you read about what they accomplished in their life. It's just not to be believed. Every single day, they were on a mission to accomplish, to achieve. Yanki Meir, every single day. Every single day, out to accomplish something new. This arichas yomim and arichas shanim. I think we're all familiar with that. But then there's another dimension, and that is even in the arichas yomim b'shanim, there are different. There's a certain quality. There's a certain simcha sachayim. There's agmas nefesh. There's another dimension that's very hard to put your finger on, and it's a very powerful pasuk. This pasuk over here is asking. David is saying, I want to know three things. I want to know three things. I want to know my kates. I want to know the midas yomai. And I want to know me chodel oni. Now, chodel, we learn two perushim. One perush means lashon of cheled, interchange the lamed and the dalet, which means kol yoshvei cheled, people who live on this world. It's another expression of existing in this world. Mm-hmm. And the other interpretation was, no, it means, how long will you separate yourself from me? How long will I suffer? Will I suffer separation from the Shekhinah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated. David is complaining that there's too much hester upon him. Okay, but let's go back to the first interpretation of the Mitzvah David, which means, which we interchange the letters, Cheled. Cheled means existence on this world, existence. So I guess you can suggest you have to really study the word cheled with more depth, but you get a sense that it refers to quality of life. There is arichas shanim, how long on record. Go to the cemetery, and it says there the date of birth, date of death. Wow, this guy, he lived 110 years, 100 and this, 100 and that. Okay, very nice, on the record. Yeah, what kind of life was it? Then there's midah, then there's arichas yomim. What did he accomplish? And then there is What kind of person was he? What kind of life? I mean, he may have accomplished quite a bit. There are some people that accomplish quite a bit, but they're bitter, nasty people. Okay, there are certain people, you read about certain politicians. Politicians, famous ones. And they were a legend in their day, and you can't say they didn't accomplish big things.
In their
own mind.
Right.
And people who know them, they hate them. They were nasty people. They were impossible people. They couldn't get along with their wife, their children, this, that. I mean, there are many different dimensions to life. Rosh Hashanah, we ask Zochreinu L'chaim, what kind of life? So, the Chavetz Chaim is a very famous Zohar. The Chavetz Chaim, one of the last, this was a Zohar that he said over the end of his life, and he repeated it. This is what they write in the books. He repeated this mamish the very end of his life. Zochreinu L'chaim, and he explained when it says Melech Chofetz B'chaim, so we typically translate this to mean it's a statement. Zochreinu L'chaim, period. Hashem, please give us life. And then we define who is God. Who is God? God is Melech Chofetz B'chaim. He is a God who wants people to live. And therefore, connect the dots. Therefore, it should be very easy for you. It's a joint venture. Life is a joint venture. We both have our own. We both have similar interests. We want to live, and you want us to live. So it's easy. Zochreinu l'chaim, because you, God, are a melech who is chofetz b'chaim. I assume that's what it says in all of the art school English translations. The Chavetz Chaim says it's not the pshat. He says that's wrong. And he said this brought over in the biographies of the Chavetz Chaim and all the stories they say that he repeated this vort numerous times at the end of his life. The pshat is Zochreinu l'chaim, and then we say to Hashem, we're not describing Hashem at all. We're telling Hashem what kind of life we want. We're now giving Hashem it's a request. Hashem, please give us life. But I don't want a life to sit around and watch television. I want you to give me opportunities. That's not a life worth living. The life I want you to give me is a life, the type of life that you want us to live. We're not, and the simple interpretation is Zochreinu l'chaim. You put there a period, or a paragraph break, or a chapter break, or write a new book. Two words, Zochreinu l'chaim. The rest of the sentence is nothing more than a description of God. Hashem is a melech who is chofetz b'chaim. That's it. Hayilchud v'hayilchud, they have nothing in common, these two parts of the sentence. Again, that is what you're going to see in the article translation, in almost all translations. The Chofetz Chaim, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, said that's not the pshat. It's one sentence. And we're very particular. Very particular. If you go to a restaurant, they bring out the food. I never saw this, but I'm sure it happens. They bring out what would you like. Someone orders their dish for $80, and they wait a half an hour. The waiter comes out with the dish, and the customer says, "No, I don't like this. I don't like it. It's not what I expected. I'm not paying $80 for this. Go bring it back into the kitchen. Bring me something else." There's not, you ever see something like that? I never saw, but I'm sure you saw?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
More than one.
Yeah, okay.
They take it back and
open it. They bring you back the same thing. They take it back and they turn it over.
They
they play games. So Zochrein is like, you go to a wedding. Yes, he told me this so many times. Go to a wedding. You always see every once in a while, if you go to enough weddings, you hear a crash. And what happened? They brought out 20 main courses, right? It's on the stand, and the whole stand crashes, and everything falls on the floor. So what? They put up a curtain right away, right? And what do? They take it into the kitchen, and they bring it right back out. No change. So over here, the Chofetz Chaim is... What? It's a very good action. There's a lot of bacteria.
I told you, there was Tenenbaum Peters that time. He was smart. When after that happened one time, He put chairs there. I told the waiters not to touch the food.
To so show the oil lamps. See that
and
we're not doing.
Was served, and they picked it up. They put chairs around the food and didn't like it.
V'hi yisem nikiyim Hashem v'Yisrael. Everyone should see the food's on the floor. We're not picking it up.
What's happening? Seen by. The whole big pot of chode was coming out of the can on Fort Hamilton Avenue before it got into the truck. It dropped, and the owner said to the other person, "Get the shovel and just put it." And everybody said it was delicious.
It was very extra flavor.
All right, so the Chofetz Chaim is not the pshat. The pshat is that you're very particular. Like you're in the restaurant and you're telling the waiter, "I don't want this. Bring this back. I'm not interested." He's saying Zochreinu L'chaim. And by the way, Hashem, when you give me life, I'm very particular. I don't want just stam life. I want a life of quality, a life that you, the Melech Chofetz B'chaim. If it was your life, this is what you would want. In other words. Quality life, a life that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will find satisfaction in the way we live that life. You got to provide, that means you got to provide me with opportunities. You got to provide with, you know, what we need, the resources, the opportunities, and the ability to have a quality life that you, Hashem, will have satisfaction from that when we do Torah and Mitzvahs. A person just going to sit around and do nothing, that's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nachas. So here as well, we have over here this pasuk. It's a very fascinating pasuk. There are three different elements that mention to life. Maybe you want to go sit in on Rosh Hashanah. You know, Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say one thing: Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Mesim are Psuchim. So, and what are we asking? We're asking for life. So, what's this that we are mespalel for? Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shofaros. What's all that about? Okay, there are only about 1,000 perushim. What's all that about? But maybe you can argue in some shape or form. Rabbi Mayevsky, the master darshan, the master of homiletics, will darshan that the three different forms represent the different elements mentioned over here. There is. Tell me, Hashem, when is my kates? You know, the kates usually is the kates hamashiach. Kates hayamin is the shofar shel mashiach. Like we should make it to the finish line. We should make it to the end. We should just you know survive. Sometimes you have to just wait it out. The quality is not so great. You know, sometimes you have to sit around, you have to wait. So why are you waiting? Because I know right now I'm bored, it's hot, I'm tired, maybe torture, but it's kedai to wait. It's kedai. Because if you just wait a little bit longer, the hano will be incredible. So new right now, it's not so great, but it's kedai to just sit around and get to the kates. That's like arichas shonim. And then you zichroinos. What is that's shofar shel Mashiach. Shofar shel Mashiach. Many of the Mefarshim say shofar is the gemar, the kates. The shofar v'hoya b'yom ahu yitoka v'shofar gadol. And then there is arichas yomim. What's arichas yomim? Zichroinos. Why? Why would Zichroinos be? I know what I'm saying. What about Malchios? Let's go back to the word Malchios. Melech Chofetz B'chayim. Zichroinu L'chayim Melech Chofetz. I don't know. You have to work this out. If there is any mashu of truth in this idea, to connect this past that we're learning over here to the three different concepts on Rosh Hashanah. There's no doubt that this, I'm very, very secure in this idea, is that this pasuk is a very famous pasuk. It's dealing with life, and it repeats itself in three different elements of life, and there's no question beyond shadow of a doubt, we're dealing here with three dimensions of life. There's the kates, there is the yomai, and there is the chodel. And these elements are different dimensions. Obviously, yomai are days. Kates is like, it's something obviously it's like shonim, and mechodel oni cheled. So cheled, we learned in Farshim what it means, the interaction of man with society. And that basically means quality, a certain quality of life. It's not just that you accomplish things every single day. You could accomplish things every single day and be miserable. Every single day you can achieve incredible results, but you're a miserable, bitter person. There's a certain happiness that a person joys that accompanies him throughout life. And the word chodel is cheled. Cheled, all the commentators struggle to define what exactly that means, but the basic gist is it represents man's interaction, his participation with society. It's not just I accomplish, I'm alive, I'm on a respirator, be in a respirator, in a ventilator for 50 years somewhere. Yeah, you have Arich Hashanim. You go to the cemetery, it says he lived 130 years. Yeah, does anyone know that he said 130 years on a ventilator? Does anyone know that? No one knows that. Wow, what a tzaddik. He lived 130 years. He must have been from... And then there's people who go read about them. The Ramah. How old was the Ramah when he died? No one knows. It ranges from 33 to 39.
Right.
Or maybe it's from 43. Someone would say he was 40. It's a pell. How could it be? He didn't die so long ago. So how could it be? We don't even know how old he is. It's a pell. Some say he's 33 years old. He died. How you talking? Something's impossible. He was either something more like 40, in his 40s. Okay, whatever it was. It was 48, 49. But he was a young man. He already accomplished? It's not to be believed.
Right.
It's not to be believed. Who did I read? I read. I'm really fast. I really am shocked how fast I am with his book. The Rebbe, Rabbi Shaila Mikenestir. I'm Amish, I'm a chassid. Rabbi Shaila. Rabbi Shaila.
Shaila.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he spooked me out. Because what happened was, I told you the story. You know, I don't even know who he is. I never saw him. I never heard about him. I know from nothing. I'm a Kalta Litvak. I know a Rebbe. I used to see years ago, you see the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You go into a store, people are not even from, they have the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chabad, all right. All of a sudden, these last couple of years, you see his picture. I told you there was a police officer. He asked one of the people, they saw the picture still there on the wall for already a year. Did they find the old man? Did they find the old man yet? His picture is still here.
But I told
the real guy really thought he was lost.
His picture's there in food stores.
Mice. Mishagas. Mamish and Mishagas.
It works.
Oh, really? It works?
It
really works. Okay, if you say it works.
Does the Rabbi Meir Balanes work?
All right.
Anyone here ever lose something and say...
And maybe I have a card. I used to have a card in my wallet. I would say it all the time. Problem was, I once lost my wallet. You hear what I mean? He gets the joke. And Michal will like this joke. I had someone gave me a card with a Meir Balanes. I named it a nusach that you say.
Right.
I named it, if you lose something, you just say it and you'll find it right away. So I kept this card in my wallet. But yeah, I lost my wallet.
So I said it six times and I found your wallet.
Okay, so this really spooked me out. So I was talking to someone and I said, I didn't even know who you were. And I said, like, I said not nice things. I said disrespectful things about Rabbi Shaila. I said, what's Mishka? I said certain things, like, what's going
on? So, sure
enough, the next day, after I said something not nice, a guy, by Myriff, he comes over to me. He never, ever gives me anything. There's not a person who's like a giver. He's not even there. They're givers and takers. This is not a giver. And he said, I have a present for you. I said, what? And he gives me the biography. He says, his sister gave it to him. He doesn't need it. He has the Hebrew version, and he knows the Hebrew version. You know what? I want you to have, what, me, more people? I said, leave me alone. And he managed, she drove me, insisted. Okay, fine. So I took it. I started reading. I couldn't put it down. I managed, could not put it down, and I became a chassid. I became totally, totally absorbed in this person, this unbelievable person. The story's there. Even if they're not true, they're really good. They're really, really good. Incredible stuff. So how are we getting into this? I forgot how we got into this. I don't even know how.
Actually, these stories you can verify because the people are still living.
Borders change.
There's still people living.
I know, he didn't live so long ago. He did not live so long ago. It's really amazing. He did not live so long ago. He was he already saw the technology in front of him. He already saw the world. Like we already saw, he lived in the world. When did he die? Before World War One. You know, maybe not. Maybe he lived in World War One.
Before World War Two.
He died already. He died before. Did he live through World War One? The Chavetz Chaim even I think, mentions him. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. How we get into that, I forgot. Maybe we'll come to later on. But here there are three different dimensions of life, the interaction of man in this world. Now let's see the Maamar Chazal over here before page 355. Mahi, Eidah Ma Chodel Ani. Quotes the whole pasuk. Omar David, page 355. David says before the Shparuch Hu, page 355. Da Omar David says the Shparuch Hu, Yibane Shalom Hodieni Hashem Kitzi. Omar Loi Gezerhi Melufanai Shein Maidin Kitzi Shel Basa Vedam. So he breaks the Medrash breaks it down into three parts. Very beautiful thing. David says, "Tell me when I'm going to die." So Hashem says, "Nope." Gezerahi milafanai, she'ein modi'in kitzoy shel bosor vodam. Very important, Chazal. We've been taught this as children. It's very profound. Hashem does not tell a person his end. It's a gezerah. You know, the word gezerah is a
decree.
A decree. It's an interesting word. It's not muchrach, but gezerah often means it's like a punishment almost. It's gezerah doesn't have not muchrach, right? There are
because it's often modified. It's a gezerah ra.
Oh, it's a gezerah like baruch goy. We say every single day in davening baruch shalom baruch gezer umekayem gezer umekayem. So one of the popular interpretations of this expression is that it means that you have to add the words even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times for his own reasons that we do not understand is gezer. He brings upon a person difficulties. Built into every difficulty is that Kodesh Baruch gives the person koyach to survive. Okay, and like we say many times that there's the Olam always says Hashem only gives a person a nesoyon that he can handle. Okay, that's a controversial statement, but this is what the world says. And Anach Lachem Yisrael, Hashem gives. Only gives a person a nisayon lefi, where he is holding what he can deal with, and where do you see that the nusach hatfilah in this expression, baruch goizer, we thank you Hashem, we are like basically matzik love esadin that goizer usually has a negative connotation, but although Hashem brings upon men difficulties in this world, Hashem gives you what you need with it built into that. It's a package. Umikayem. Yeah, Hashem gave you the tools, the resources, the koichas hanefesh to get through it. And it's not only just the frame of mind, it's also the money and you know
the resources.
You know, it's interesting. Certain people have very big difficulties in life, and like if not for the fact that they were independently wealthy or they had a certain friend or resource or some type of thing, it'd be impossible. It's like I know someone who told me, I have a friend who unfortunately he has a very big nesoyon in life, and on the other hand he has an incredible bracha, and he said to me I Hashem only gave me this bracha because I have this other issue, and this other issue basically, if I didn't have this, I couldn't start to deal with the other issue. You don't know what everyone was doing by someone else. You never know. Just because you see a person at the top of the world, you don't know what's really going on. And this person is a friend of mine. You know, wherever he has a certain bracha, and he said to him, Hashem gave this to me because I have to deal with something very heavy, and you know, it definitely goes a long way. So that's a nesoyon. That's what goizer umikayim. So here I don't know if in this context you also say this concept that it's a gzerahim milafonai. Is it really a bad thing? Is it really a bad thing that a person does not know when he will die?
Well, no.
What?
Well, obviously it's for our benefit.
Well, Avi, okay, correct. But in the purest sense, if we were living in an ideal world, which we don't even have even a mashu of that, would it be a benefit for a person to know when he'll die?
No.
It would not be a benefit?
You wouldn't be able to live.
What?
You wouldn't be able to live.
Why not?
With a cloud hanging over your head?
Always.
So adraba, so that gives you
maybe a focus,
right. It gives you focus.
Hanging over your head when you're going to die.
Purpose of life.
You don't know because
we're
hanging over your
head. Right.
I know it's 10 years from now.
Well,
I'll be good for 9 and a half.
They said,
I'll enjoy myself.
Repent one day before your death.
Oh,
right.
Very good. It's true.
No.
Mikra, I didn't. You should only make it you have to do the day before you die.
You live it up.
You live it up. It's very complicated. You know, you're dealing every. Listen, no one's the same. No one is the same. No two people look alike. No two people think alike. So it's very complicated. Over here, the words of Chazal are: it's a gezera. Gezera hi milafonai. There's no such thing. Even you, David, there is no such thing as knowing.
Usually, it's something not for us to question. When it comes from Shammai,
gezera.
Don't question it.
But gezera means decree. It doesn't always have.
No, so he's saying giving connotation. He's saying it's not for us to question.
When it's a decree from the immortal, then it's a different story. But when it's from gezera, we don't question it.
All right, gezera will find Hashem. We didn't know Shishul Adam. So then umidas yomai mahi. So then now this is the way. This is what. Chazal are reading that David HaMelech is the Mi Omar El Mi. That's always the question. Every time we learn a Pasuk Chomish, everything we say many times, Mi Omar El Mi. So each sentence here is David, but David is asking them, but what's doing here in this Medrash is, it's telling us the answer in between the lines. David for Ikar Chosa Min HaSefer Mamish. Mamish. Hayidyeni Hashem Kitzin. The Medrash says Hashem gave him the answer. It doesn't say in the pasuk the answer. Gezerim ulufanai, do not tell people when they're going to die. Then David asks the second question. Okay, tell me what day of the week. Tell me umidas yomai mahi. Umidas yomai mahi. Gezerim ulufanai shen moedin midas. I'm sorry. Midas yomav shana. What does that mean? I don't know what this means. First he says, tell me my kitzi. Gzeri he odesh mikitzi my end. Amla gzeri mihi milufan shein modin kitzoy shel bossa v'dam. Umidas yomai mahi gzeri milufan shein modin midas yomav shel adam.
The number of days, yes.
So why is that different than years?
The type of life.
The midas. What is it? The midas. What type of life are we gonna have?
The value of the
quality of life. Eido me chodel oni. Oh, so here this is something new. We had so far until now two interpretations. Cheled, my days on this, just a poetic repetition. Poetic repetition, how long will I live in this world? Or we had the other interpretation of don't change the letters, read it the way it is. It means how long, Hashem, will you separate yourself from me? How long will I suffer? Hester ponim. How come the Shekhinah has departed from me? How long will this go on for? That was the second interpretation. Now we're getting a third interpretation. Tell me the day of the week. According to this interpretation, this is the famous Chazal David HaMelech with the tree when he died, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Now he says, Eido me chodel oni, tell me the day of the week that I will die. Famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Omar loy, so Hashem says, you will die on Shabbos. B'Shabbos Tammuz, you will die on Shabbos. And we all know the story. So what did David do? David went every single Shabbos. Yeah. It was a 20th, he learned Torah. Because the Malcham Aves does not have Shlita over a person when he's studying Torah. So David, one day I can learn. One day, 24 hours straight, Mishmar, nonstop. David, he immersed himself the entire Shabbos in Torah in order to prevent, since I'm on Shabbos, and the Malcham Aves has no Shlita on Shabbos, so as long as I immersed in learning Torah on Shabbos, the Malach HaMavis has no Shlita. Everyone seems to have known this, and there's a legend. Maybe I don't think it's a Chazal, but the reason why we say Mitzvah Shabbos, David, Melech, Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, did David survive the Shabbos? Because since this Gemara says Beferush that Hashem said to David, you will die on Shabbos. Now, so what? At what point in his life did this happen? I know, obviously, at an earlier point in his life. And it seems that this information was leaked to the Tzibur. So every Mitzvah Shabbos, the first question you have on your mind is David still alive? During the week, he's not going to die. We know that. But what's going to be Mitzvah Shabbos? Because he's going to die on Shabbos. Was David able to sit and learn the Hasmada Rabbah in order to stall another week? So the second Shabbos was over, they sent out a text. They sent out, David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. He survived. It means he survived Shabbos. Okay, I remember years ago, there's someone in my father's shul, his wife was very, very sick. And I was with him at Soy Shabbos, and it was a very difficult situation in many different areas. And I was walking home with him at Soy Shabbos, and he basically, he was really like paralyzed in his mind, because he had to make a phone call to find out if his wife is still alive. Because over Shabbos, he wasn't such good terms with his wife, but you know, whatever, he was still married, you know, and the mental, and his children, this and that, and Imamish, I remember, I was with him, he had to make that phone call to know if she's still alive. So Klal Yisrael had the same thing. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, this Gemara. And when they said, yes, he made it, he survived. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, it was a big celebration. That's according to one interpretation why we say Mitzvah Shabbos, like Kiddush Levana. I mean, we say this Kiddush Levana, you can say Kiddush Levana during the week also. But it's in the Minhag Yisrael to say Kiddush Levana by many Mitzvah Shabbos, because you're wearing your big day Shabbos, you have a Simcha, in Kabbalah, in the Ashrina. Maybe there's also an element of Mitzvah Shabbos, is the Usudasa, the David Malka. Everyone knows all these things. So therefore, many say Mitzvah Shabbos and Mela. Oh, since it's primarily said Mitzvah Shabbos, we say this, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Others say, the reason why you say that Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam is because that was the code. There was during the times of Shmad.
The password.
The password to get in. Okay. During Corona, you know, they used to have all the illegal minyanim. So you had to have a password. It was a big joke, right? Now I have to have a password. What's the password? David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam.
I have another question.
Yeah?
Chodal is a code for Ma Gozer. I mean, what Gezer you have on
it? What Gezer? What's a code? How do you know it's a code? Prove it.
Gimel plus one is Dalet, Zion plus one is Ches, and Reish is two. Plus one is three.
I lost you totally.
Right.
Say that one more time. Gimel plus one is Daud, okay.
Right. Zion plus one is Ches, Chodal, and Reish, which is two.
Plus what does the Reish come into this?
Gazar. Gimel, Zion, Reish, right?
No, Lamed. Chodal.
Yes,
no,
Lamed. Reish becomes a Lamed.
Gazar?
Yeah, all right.
What?
Reish, which is
I'm lost. Chazal say, "Ein Adam Oymed Al Daito Shal Rabbi Meir." We don't pass. Not because he's wrong. He's just, the depth of understanding is so deep. The average person can't. Shalzach. Ein Adam Oymed Al Daito Shal Rabbi Meir.
Listen. You're supposed to say, "Ein
Shomer." Means
a
tzaddik
be'emunosai,
if he believes in himself, is yichya.
A tzaddik
be'emunosai? No, why should
he
believe in himself?
He believes in himself? Why only a tzaddik? Why only a tzaddik? Everyone, you said that every person should have a tzaddik. It's a nice idea, right. But why only a tzaddik?
Right.
All right, let's go further. All right, so this is the famous Gemara, and this is the pasuk. This is the pasuk where David HaMelech is the drash. David demanded from Hashem, he wants to know when he will die. Question, why does David want to know when he's going to die? There's so many questions about this Gemara. Why did David want to know when he will die? Why? I mean, what difference? What difference does it make?
We don't see
anyone else
in the Tanakh that asked that.
That's it right here.
We we're talking about he's in so much sorrow.
No, the way the Gemara, the way the, no, that's what we learned. That's what we learned over here. That's what we learned. Pashup Shad in the Mizmar.
Right.
But in the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, and all they teach all the children, David was healthy, vibrant, strong, and David just Stam. He says, "I want to know. I'm going to die." Stam is he wants to know. He was a philosopher. He wanted to know, where did Shlomo HaMelech become such a philosopher? He got it from his father. David was also, "I want to know when I'm going to die." There's something very deep and profound. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is even deeper. Gezeirah hi milefanai. There's no human being. I'm all these apikarsim today who wanna, they want to go tinker with our DNA and this and that. They mamash, they think you can program a person. Science can go down the earth. Can tell you b'diyuk every little thing. Gezeirah hi milefanai, that I don't reveal to a human being the time of his end.
It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara.
Shabbos.
Three things that Hashem says I don't let a man know.
What's the other two?
When he's going to be born, when he's going to die, and I forgot the third thing. But there's a Gemara that says that.
It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. Let him know when he's going to be born.
Whatever.
All right.
One of them, I can't remember all of them.
Okay, let's now go and move forward into the next sugya.
The
next sugya is Pasuk Vav. Hine, now this is not so easy stuff. Hine tefachos nasata yomai. Okay, there's a little bit of a continuation to a degree. Hine tefachos nasata yomai. The cheldi cheayin negdecha. Now the word tefachos is a tefach. You measure, like measure, a measurement. My days are small little measurements. The cheldi, my existence. Same word we had before. Ke'ayin negdecha, it's nothing. When you put these two words in contrast, ke'ayin negdecha with the word tefachos, it means my life is worthless. It's like when we say Adam kamir rashana of a. V'chachaloyim yo'uf. What is the nusach? How does it go? Anyone remember the nusach? Balpeh? Ain kitzvah lo. That's Hashem.
Yeah.
But we still. Adam yisoyde me'afar. Adam yisoyde me'afar. How does it go? Yisoyde me'afar. And we describe Rav Kalman. Rav Kalman doesn't say for us Balpeh. You look at Chazonus. Unbelievable. You see the shots we have here. We have Baal Musaf. He's a Baal Musaf. Rav Kalman is a Baal Musaf. Okay? Yeah. He's a Baal Musaf. He was a Baal Musaf in the Talmud Torah for many, many years. For decades.
Where?
The Talmud Torah Flapish.
Which is now the Young Israel.
Now it merged with the Young Israel of Flapish. Tom, he was about Baal Musaf.
Who was that?
Rav Kalman. Rav Kalman Shiloni. Rav Kalman is Shiloni. He sits over here. He's now online. You don't see him. He's online. He's on the other side of the screen. So he was the Baal Musaf in Rabbi in the Talmud Torah of Flatbush on Avenue I and J and Coney Island Avenue, across from the Young Israel of Flatbush. So how many years, Rav Kalman?
How many?
20 years?
20 years there.
20 years there. And he davened other.
10 years and 20 years
there. Where?
10 years. Young Israel of Benzenhurst.
The Young Israel of Benzenhurst. Anyone familiar? 30 years. Unbelievable. And then more. Other shuls probably, right? Other locations, more than 30 years, 40th, Baruch Hashem. Here, Rabbi Sai over here, David over here is saying over here, this is something the Nusach HaTfilah and Rosh Hashanah is over here. David is describing that my life is worthless. My wife is inconsequential. It is insignificant. It is small measurements. The word tefachos, we know that there are tefach is one of the smallest measurements in distance. We have an amma. How much is an amma? There are two different types of amma. There are only three. Right? That's the mission. There are three ammas. Amma of five tzvachim, the amma of six tzvachim, and the amma of six plus. the six plus in the Beis Hamikdash for the workers. As I think with the workers, you get a contract in the Beis Hamikdash to supply material. You have to give a little bit more, so there should not be any possibility of being moiled the Hegdash. If you receive money from the Beis Hamikdash and you don't give what you're supposed to give, so there's a shayla of Mil Behegdash. There are three types of Amos: 5, 6, and 6+. David here says, Hineitif v'chois masata yomai. My life, my days are measured in tefachim. Tefachim are small measurements. The cheldi, my life, another word for my life, negdech, it's nothing. Ach, another expression. Kol hevel, kol adam, nitzav, selo. Let's just do this one pasuk. Pasuk vav in the mitzvah is David. Tevachais kivutzois is a collection kadavar hanimdad b'tefach. Okay, so like the word tevachais here is not the main word. The main word, the main idea that the mitzvah David reads into this difficult word, which I don't think is too common, is it's just a collection. A collection of little things. Everyone knows the expression, a little bit of everything adds up to a lot of nothing.
A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Please. A journey of one, no. But that's a positive statement. That's an optimistic statement. But look, there's another expression, and it says it all is, a little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. Okay? It's
like
true.
A jack of all trades,
a master of none.
Yeah, you're talking about me again. Huh?
Okay? A jack of all trades, a master of none. A little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. You have to focus on one. You have to focus. Women can multitask. Men cannot multitask. Men cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. A woman can. How do you know this? I finally found the MacArthur that told this unbelievable shot. How do you know? This is a mitzvah. This is a scientific fact. Men cannot multitask. Women, the average woman, can talk on the phone, do the laundry, take care of the children, run a business, multi-million dollar business, and be running a shidduchim, dealing with shidduchim, and dealing with crisis management at the same time, naturally. All at the same time. I'm telling you, the average woman can do many. A man, mamish, cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. You have one thing at a time. A man who has a mila, and I don't mean anything bad about women, that a man has the ability it's easier for men to delve into something with depth. When you don't multitask and you devote all of your resources to one thing, it's easier. Not that a woman can't do it, they can do it even better, but it's easier for them to delve in. Why? Why is this part of the DNA of man? Unbelievable shot. Because when Hashem made Adam, what did Hashem say to create man? Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam. Hashem consulted with the Malachi Hashavos. Why? To teach Rashi, to teach man humility. But Hashem said, Na'aseh. Hashem spoke to the Malachi Hashavos. Malachim can only do one thing at a time. A Malach has only one mission. Go by Lot, by Sodom. By the Bris Milah, three Malach. He needs three Malachim. Let him do everything, one Malach. No, this one does this, this one does this, this one does this, and then when he finished that, then he got a new job, one. When Hashem made...
So you're suggesting angels are of the male persuasion?
Being that Hashem said, the words that Hashem used to create men was Na'aseh, that concept of the Malachi Hashareis is built into the DNA of man. The Malachi Hashareis have a limitation, they have a defect. And that, not a defect, they have an attribute, a Malach has only one mission. When Hashem created an Isha, what did Hashem say? E'eseloi ezer kinedoi. Hashem is the ultimate multitasker. Hashem can be many places at the same time. Hashem does many things at the same time. Hashem is not limited to one thing at a time. The Malachim are limited to one thing at a time. So being that when Hashem made Adam, Hashem said Na'aseh. And the word Na'aseh, Hashem consulted with the Malachi Hashareis. because Hashem wanted to teach man humility. So in Achnami, man got a degree of humility, but there's a trade-off. There is, the trade-off is that the concept of Naseh, of Malachi HaShares, it's seeped into man's DNA, that man can only do one thing at a time. When Hashem came to create an Isha, Hashem said, Eseh! There's no Malachim over here. I'll do it myself. Eseh! Hashem's midah is the ultimate multitask. That's why Noshim have a much easier time of doing 20 things at the same time, naturally. The koila. The koila, the morning koila of Midwood. We came across this in the Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi, we learned Daf Yomi, this idea, we had, well, 2 weeks ago, just came out of the Gemara. It leaped off, it wasn't my, it just leaped off the page. I don't remember, like 2 weeks ago. We learned Daf Yomi, this whole thing just leaped out of the page of the Gemara. This idea, and it makes, you know, it really, it's a game changer in understanding, I think there's something there. There's something really there, because, you know, it's a psukim. Okay, go back over here. Go see over here. It says over here in the pasuk. It's a beautiful pasuk. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Really beautiful pasuk. Erev Rosh Hashanah. So over here again, the mitzvah is tefach. So over here, the word tefachis. He learns that the word tefach is, that's not the, we're not focusing on the word tefach, on a small measurement. The goal, the word tefach is trying to connote, to awaken us to a collection, that you take small units. Small units, and the small units, they come together in a larger dimension, an amma. An amma is a collection of five or six tzvachim. Kitzuvos are collected. Kadavar hanimdod b'tefach. Kitzuva means to be collected, like something which is measured in the tefach. Whatever, we have to see more depth in one moment. The Cheldi, Zemani Bo'olam. Okay, he learns what Cheldi, interesting, means the word Yoshe Cheled, but it also has a connotation of time. My time in this world, Hu Ch'ayin Neged Shinoisech, Asher Lo Yitamu. Okay, this we say in Mishatila. Asher Lo Yitamu, Hashem is unlimited, Hashem is infinite. Le'olam Bo'ed. Ach Kol Hevel. Kol ha'havolim hu b'chol adam, ish loy nedar, b'figei hazman. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. All of the futility of life can be found in man in what happens in time. Time has a way...
No one is free from the vicissitudes of time.
Ah, okay. Ooh. No one is free from the vicissitudes. Fancy word. The vicissitudes of life, which is another word for the turmoil. Right? Turmoil?
The ups and downs.
Yeah. But that's not really what it says here in the Mitzvah. Ha-havolim. Kol ha-havolim.
All vanities are in every...
Vanities. B'chol la'asher lo neder b'figei zman. That cannot... It's not... Every person suffers. Every person... What's the expression from the philosophers? I suffer, therefore I exist. Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah. Therefore I am.
Therefore I am. Suffering is the essence of man. Is that really true? Is that Apicursus?
I think the expression is I think therefore.
But that's a different expression.
I think therefore.
That's different. There's another thing about suffering. I don't know if that's Apicursus. Nitzav Sela.
Therefore I suffer.
You too.
Nitzav Sela. Rabbi Sai, Nitzav Sel, Hadavar Hazan Nitzav Le'olam, this matter stands forever. V'lo Yishtane Liyos, Mi B'bne Odom Chodel Mehav Mehav Le'i Hazman Ufigo'ov. There are no exceptions. Every person is subject to the vicissitudes. Is that the correct pronunciation? The vicissitudes of life. Every person is subject to what happens in life. No one is an exception. Let's look at the Mitzvah Sion, just a more precise translation of these words. And in fact, he doesn't say anything over here. Shockingly, there's hevel is yesh hevel shehu inyan put anuyos vitzaras. Okay, that's a very important to start it. Okay, we learn in Koheles coming up very soon. Havel havolim hakol hovel. Not so far ahead. Koheles about the futility of man. So there, I never heard this before. This is totally new to me. Hevel just means it's a waste of time, right? Hevel, what's hevel? It's just a waste of time, just a fleeting moment, it's insignificant, no one cares, what impact do you have on this world? But that's not what it says over here in the Mitzvot. He says something novel. His hevel means punishment, suffering. That's not the common translation, the common usage, at least now our vocabulary, of the word hevel. Okay, now the other, the Mitzudas David makes a lot more sense. Because he's saying over here, yesh, hevel, there is a word hevel, which doesn't only mean futility, but means poronos, shu'inyan poronuyos, suffering, punishment. Punishment, suffering. What does the word poronuyos mean with precision? Does it mean punishment or does it mean suffering? I don't know, but it's not good. It's not pleasant. It's not just futile. Futile can be powerful, can be harmless, can be just, you know, pass over you. But poronuyos, punishments, that's serious, that's suffering. Vitzorais, okay, that's not a nice word. Kumo behevel bo uvachoshech yelech. That's not the way we understand Mishnah the Pasuk. When you read the Pasuk, behevel bo uvachoshech yelech, I don't think any of us would translate that without looking in the commentators to mean that a person came into this world through suffering. You would say, behevel bo, who cares? Who could care less? You came into the world in a state of futility. No one cares, no one knows, I'm not interested. You're just a burden for the doctor to get up in the middle of the night to come and deliver the baby and this and that. Yeah, so for you, for maybe for the parents and this and that, but in the big picture of things, what is one person relative to 8 billion people in the world? And the time that he spends in this world, but that's not what it says. The Mitzudos David and Mitzutzin is saying Chidush Neira. When it says in Kohelus Behevel Ba, a man comes into this world in a state of suffering. Really? Really? Who suffers? Well, you say the mother, the Tsar Chevle Leda? Is that what it means? Or does it mean the baby is crying?
What does the word mean? Behevel Pihem.
Behevel Pihem means the breath of it. Right, as I was saying, the simple translation of the word hevel in our minds just means it means basically nothing. Futility.
Right.
It's not important. It's insignificant. Who cares? It's nothing. But there's no association of pain that goes into our common translation of the word hevel. The Mitzudas Dov, if we only came for this alone, it was Kedai. The Mitzudas Dov is saying a Chiddush Neira that the word hevel means in some contexts, some not all everywhere, it means suffering. And he says that's the pshat in the Pasuk, in Koheles. Behevel bo uvachoshech yelech. Man comes into this world in a state of suffering. Really? Is that really true? Who is suffering? You're going to say the mother is suffering? L'chor, the subject is the person, not the mother who gave birth to him. So when the baby comes into this world, the moment the baby is crying, is the baby crying because he's suffering? Most scientists say that a baby, an infant, has no sense of suffering until a little bit later in its development, and the reason why it's crying is nothing more than a muscle reflex. It's not really pain. Do they really know that? How could they know that? That's what, it's very common to hear people say that a baby, an infant, doesn't, by a bris milah, why does the baby cry? Does the baby really suffer? Many experts say impossible. All of our scientific knowledge, advancement of medical knowledge today indicates that there is absolutely no suffering a baby feels at the time of bris milah. The reason why he cries is nothing more than muscle reflexes. That's it. That's it. The ability for a person to suffer develops a little bit later in his development. They say a baby doesn't see anything. There's absolutely no sight. They see, the most they can possibly see is maybe some light. And the ability to see things takes time. Do they really know? Is it really true? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe there are different types of different stages of development, different types of children. But here it says, so who's suffering? So you'll say that it means that in life, as a person ages and matures and becomes successful, every step of the way of a man's existence in his development involves suffering. No pain, no gain. Okay, as a person develops in life and he achieves, it always comes with a degree of suffering. And that's definitely true. You don't accomplish anything in this world without suffering. No one has it easy. When a person dies, no one cares. It's dark, no one's interested. So the whole existence of man is one of suffering. And when he leaves this world, he leaves in a state of darkness. Pretty scary. When you translate the word hevel to mean suffering, it changes the whole dynamics of these types of these psukim. And he is reading that into this pasuk over here. Hinei tefachos nasata yomai v'cheldi. You, Hashem, you, one more time, this pasuk, according to the Zohar, you have what my life is tefachos. It's not really satisfied with the business of it says, my life is a collection of small, insignificant events. Tefach means, a tefach means something very, very small. My life is just a collection of small things. A lot of everything adds up, a little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. That's what he's saying. Okay, it's just a collection of little things. And the Chaldi, my time on this world is ka'ayin negecha, and ach, it's even worse. Ach, only, kol hevel, kol adam, nitzav selo. You have to translate these words creatively, backwards, that man's entirety is nothing more than pure suffering. Kol hevel, every type of suffering comes upon kol adam, no one escapes. There's no one escapes from the entirety of suffering in this world, and this reality will never change. Will exist nitzav, will exist this mitzias that man, every single man will suffer, every type of suffering will exist until the end of time. That's quite a morbid pasuk to read out of Rosh Hashanah. There is no escape.
We say it every Shabbat. Yemei Shnoteinu Bahem Shivim Shana, Ve'imi Gvurot Shmonim Shana, Ve'vorot Bacham Amal
Ve'vorot Rabban.
Yigas Chish Ve'ufon. Yigas Chish, and all things flies. It just, it disappears.
So that word virabam, what does that word mean? Is that related to the word hevel? The rahabam?
The length, I don't know what it is. Virabam, I have to look at the
check it out.
You say it ever?
Yeah. That's one of the
psychosis of Zimmer. Kodam mitzav, we stand still, we are there, we're standing, we are not going to fall. No.
Among the
oven, it's nothing.
Okay, let's finish up with the Rashi. We'll stop. We won't do the Rashi, then we'll stop. Pasuk Vav, Hinei Tefachos Medudim Heim Yimei HaAdam Kedavar Hanimda B'Tfachim Kein Yimei HaAdam Kitzuvim. The Rashi is saying something a bit different. Rashi over here is describing. He's not saying something different. He's a little bit, maybe more of a clarification of what the Mesudos said later on. Put the two together, maybe a little clarity. Is that man is measured in small units.
It seems to me, he's saying man's life is finite. And then in contrast with...
Hashem is nitzav selah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see the Rashi. Midudin, the word tefachos again, means small units. Small units that are measured. Midudin heim yimei adam. They're measured.
Because we're talking about time.
Correct.
We always talk about it. Is time measurable in small intervals, or in small units, or is it a
larger collection of Midudim hein yimei adam. There's an element of measurement. Measurement means precision. Kedavar like something hanim dod that is measured bitfachim in small units. Likewise, kein yimei ha'adam kitzuvim. Man is limited. When you measure something, maybe what he's referring to the concept, ein bracha mitsuya bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. When you measure something, you limit it.
Right, it's finite.
It's finite. Finite. So ein bracha, if you want bracha, brecha, a spring, it's continuous.
It can be infinite.
There's no end to it. Infinite. The spring, the water just goes. The fire hydrant, it just goes. Non-stop. Ein bracha mitzuya bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Man does not have that. Man's life is finite. It's limited. Memela, we use a measurement to indicate it's going to come to an end. And we use a small measurement of a tefach, and that when you start measuring, then, you know, you're cutting down man's existence. When you use small coins, like I told you, I once a story, There's a very tragic story. During the Holocaust, the Rabbanim who came to America to collect money on Shabbos, and they went and took a taxi, and they went from shul to shul on Shabbos Kodesh to collect many. They collected money on Shabbos, and they came to one shul, and one of the Gedolei shul. I don't know who. Maybe it was Aaron Cullen. Maybe I don't know who.
Brock Sorotskin.
There were many Gedolei. And he got up. He came to the shul, and he made a passionate drasha, describing what's going on in Europe, and we need money. We need money basically to bribe. We need money to buy life. And at the time when he went, to the biggest shuls, one of the very famous shuls, and that was the time when he led a campaign, the shul dinner was the next week. And the person there was very disturbed that the oilim was all rallied up and they were going to give a lot of money. And he realized if they're going to give a lot of money for this cause, to save Jewish lives, they're not going to give money to the shul, for the rabbi's salary. So after he gave a passionate drasha and people were willing to give significant sums of money, as it's Rabbi Yisrael, the rabbi has spoken such an important cause. Please, everyone, respond generously. Every dollar counts. That destroyed. Every dollar counts. People were willing to give hundreds of dollars. And when he said every dollar counts, the way he said it is like, yeah, you give $3, $10, $18, $20. People have slugs of giving thousands of dollars. Because we need to collect $6 million. We have a campaign of $500. Oh, so I'll give $10,000. Every dollar, every penny counts. When you measure something in very, very small units, kleina hasagas. When over here it says Adam, you say Adam is in tefachos. Tefachos. Let's talk about amos. Let's talk about milin, a mil. Let's talk about large numbers. When you want to go talk about, every inch counts. You're degrading your hasagas. The hasagas, you're talking about inches? Okay, I'll give 3 inches. The inflation is only up an inch. Anyone know that statement? Anyone familiar watching the news?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Inflation is only up an inch.
Oh, yes, he said that.
Okay, only up an inch, right? Only up an inch, yeah. Right? So you talk, he's like, garnish, an inch, right? Outright lies. But when you talk in low to small units, the hasagas are kleina hasagas. The greatest thing, the most important thing in life is that big hasagas. So we have over here, Menachem Sperling. He represents Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. He's one of the fundraisers, the administrators. And I have to say that Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, one of the biggest smiles, if not the biggest smile of the yeshiva, is they put into Talmidim to have big hasagas. And until you go somewhere else, you don't really appreciate that. You take it for granted. Take it for granted. And the most important thing in the Jewish education is to put into the mind of a student, there's a whole world out there. There's a whole world out there. Have big, big hasags. We're going to teach you nothing. Chas v'shalom. But hasagas. Give you big hasagas. And that is... And you don't appreciate that until you go to other places where they have kleina hasagas and it's a horrible. You have to have big, big hasagas. And over here, this is part of the depressing expression of David that Adam knew. Clay, what is the man? He's mamash. You can measure him in inches in tefachim. Which is the Rashi, the Cheldi. The Cheldi writes over something, a tremendous chiddush. The Cheldi, v'zik noseinu. Now, what does that mean?
Our old age.
Where did the word Cheldi come to zik noseinu? Our old age. Ke'ayin negdecha, cheled l'shon chaluda rust. What a depressing thought. That when a person gets old, it's like looking at a metal pipe that's rusty.
That's why I go to the gym.
What a depressing thought, huh? So it says the word is chele. We have now a third interpretation. Either we change the letters, cheled, or we're also changing the letters here in this interpretation, but we're now using it in reference to the yoshe cheled. We're using it in reference to rust.
That's where the expression comes from.
An old person says, I'm rusty.
Rusty, I'm chaluda. Michal, you want to give us some commentary on this?
I can't pronounce the word here, but it means rust. Rogio.
Kol adam nitzav, kol adam chay, hevel heim chayev umatzavai. The word nitzav here does not, nitzav, here nitzav means every, atam nitzavim hayam kulchem. It's leading to the parsha. The signal, time to stop. Nitzavim. Atem nitzavim, every standing man. Isn't it amazing we're doing this pasuk over here? The last word that we're going to tell you. Kol adam nitzav, kol adam chai. He ties the word atem nitzavim, ayam kulcham lefnei Hashem elokeichem. It means you're alive. You're alive. Hevel heim chayev matzavai. You're standing, but he writes, hevel, kol adam nitzav, every living person. He ties the word nitzav to mean a living person. Go backwards. Is ach kol hevel. Every living person lives a life of futility. It's hevel heim chayav, or according to the mitzvah, this means he suffers. That's much better to say it means suffer, that it means futility, because at least there's a purpose to suffering. And if you say it means suffering, through the suffering you get something. But if you say it just means that it's futile, what do you get out of it? Nothing. It's just a waste.
So is this kind of a foreshadowing of Kohelis?
Yes. Okay, we'll stop here.
Take a short break.
There are prusgul forms on the front of the compliments of Rabbi Appeldorf. After the shear is over, we'll do, anyone who wants to a prusgul, we'll do a prusgul. After the shear is over.